Today's inspiring guest is UK homeopath, public speaker, and author Matt Pepper. Matt has been a homeopath for 25 years, and he is the author of the book Happiness, The Inside Job, which, for the record, was recommended reading by the best band in the world, Coldplay. Matt talks about a topic today, which I've never heard any other homeopath talk about, that is getting homeopathy into the corporate sector. So many homeopaths are struggling week to week to always be finding new clients. But if more of us focus our attention on getting a corporate client to work with, we could benefit from the ongoing work we'll be receiving by caring for their staff, while the company benefits from having happier, healthier staff, which obviously leads to better retention rates. And really, it's just a win-win for everyone concerned. So I really hope that Matt's going to inspire a lot more homeopaths to get into this area after listening to this episode. Check out Matt's website at www.mattpepper.com for info about his courses and his book, or if you would like to speak at one of your events, and also if you're a business interested in working with Matt to raise your staff's happiness barometer. Enjoy the episode.
Welcome to the Homeopathy Hangout, where we discuss all things homeopathy from around the world. And now my mum and your host, Eugenie Kruger.
Hello, homies, and welcome to Homeopathy Hangout. Today, we get to hang out with a really lovely Matt Pepper all the way in the UK. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Thank you for having me, Eugenie.
Now, I start with the same question with all of my guests. How were you first introduced to homeopathy?
Thank you. Well, yes, this goes back a long, long way. When I was about 13 and a half, I was bedridden for 6 months with a mystery illness that no one knew what they could do with me. Traveled around the UK to different hospitals and clinics. Yeah, I just didn't have any energy, headaches. When I look back now, it was chronic fatigue in a various form. But back, this is 30, 35 years ago. It wasn't labeled, didn't know what it was. And yeah, so my parents were beside themselves trying to work out how do we get this child better, as you would be. And so a friend of my mother's, I think it was, said, go and try this alternative doctor down in Devon where we lived. And she was a GP and a practicing homeopath. So she treated me the homeopathic way. And within about 3-4 months, I was right as rain, I was better. So I was intrigued. And from that moment, yeah, I thought that's my job. So I knew when I was 14 that I was going to get into healthcare and homeopathy and different ways of doing things, because I just loved that I'd been so ill and to be better again. It's like, I just knew that was what I wanted to do. So I just started from there, basically. That's how I got into it.
That's so cool. Now, there's an extra little bit on that story, which when I did your online course, Fire Up Your Happiness, there was a little extra really cool part to that story that you're going to have to add on if you don't mind.
Okay. Is this how I got to college?
Yeah.
Bit? Okay, cool. So I chose the homeopathic college I wanted to go to. It was in London. It was a private college. And I just knew that's where I'm going. I'm going to go to that college. Nothing is stopping me. I just had that kind of intention of that inner knowing of I just so wanted to go to that college and kind of move away from home and see it as my university kind of thing. Because I was 20 when I decided to train. I was quite young.
Wow.
Anyway, I didn't have the money to do it, but I was still determined to go. And then 3 weeks before the course was about to start, I had a phone call from a lawyer who said, please, can you come and see me? I want to chat about your course and your college. So I didn't know how he'd got my name or number. And so I just went along, told him for about half an hour why I wanted to do it and why I was passionate about it. And then he left the room, came back in about 20 minutes. He said, I've got some really good news for you. My client wishes to pay. And I was like, jaw drop. It's like, what are you talking about? And he said, my client wishes to pay. And there's three things you have to do. Turn up to college. Don't muck around and Skype. I was like, I can do that. Send us a report every term. And then the third criteria was we will always remain anonymous. So,
wow. I mean, it was just as good hearing the story the second time, but how's that for goosebumps?
Pretty cool. Yeah, that's great. So I always thank them whenever I do a presentation or anything. It's kind of like, yeah, they've launched me into my career.
Wow.
So that's an amazing thing that they did for me.
You've got so much cool stuff that you've done in your 25 years. I'm almost thinking, like, where do we start? But I reckon let's start with your book, Happiness, The Inside Job. And for anybody watching on Rumble or on YouTube, they can see the cover of your book in the background there. And I'm glad you've got the happiness barometer up, because I was going to ask you some questions about that today. So what was, talk to us about the book. Why did you decide to write it and the journey to that?
Yeah, thank you. So this happened when I was first in practice. I was just loved being in practice and really helping people and seeing them transform and just getting over their physical ailments. And you really realize that when you sit someone in a chair and ask them how they are, that kind of a whole story comes with that. Kind of you suddenly get behind the scenes. And I knew, you know, trained as a homeopath, I knew it was to do with that. But I then really got into, there's a lot going on with people's lives and stress and upset and worry and confidence and all sorts of stuff. And it seemed to be that my sessions were going that way into kind of the emotional side of stuff. And then in my early 20s, I wasn't the happiest guy in the world. I had a smile on my face and I'd go to work helping people. Then I'd go home and I'd be in a mood. And my mood would go up for 2 days and down for a day and up for a couple more days and down. And I had stuff going on in a relationship that was tricky. And I hadn't seen my dad for 10 years and we're now 30 odd years of that. So there was stuff going on. And I thought I didn't want to be a practitioner that went to work and sort of showed people how to be well and happy and then go home and wasn't doing that. And then I thought, this was the question I thought was, what is happiness and how do you get there? And why has nobody ever taught me how to do it? So I thought there's got to be answers. Someone must know the answer to this. It's kind of what I believe that we kind of all want. We want to feel good. We want to have a nice life and feel good in our own way. I thought, what are the rules to that? There's got to be rules to that. So I went on a little quest and I put myself through counseling and psychotherapy. I've hung out with monks. I've gone up and down mountains. I've done wacky, crazy courses. And I decided just to take the bits that I like and then see what worked on me and then what would work on my clients as well. And I just basically just picked all the bits out and picked the best bits that I liked. And I'm someone that's got quite a short attention span. So I'm a bit like, don't give me like 2 days of lectures on one thing. Just give me 4 bullet points of what I need to know and then I'm going. So I'm a bit like that. So I suddenly thought I would love to have the book that I wish I'd had when I was 20, kind of. Like that was my kind of philosophy. It's like if someone plonked this book down in front of me and said, I think the answers or possible answers here that's going to really help you feel better in yourself. So when you feel better in yourself, everything else blossoms. Our life is better, relationships are better, work's better. We deal with stuff a lot better when we feel better in ourselves. And I thought, well, how do you feel better in yourself? So that's what I did. I just kind of pieced together the stuff. It took me quite a few years. It took me 5 years to write it, to be honest. I thought I'll do it really quick, but I just kept adding different chapters and different things together. And then it got taken to an editor and they really liked it. And we put it together and it came out about 4 years ago, I think. So that's the background of it. And I made a conscious decision not to have homeopathic remedies in there because I see that as a tailored approach, even though it can help mental, emotional stuff. But what is in there, I believe, is the kind of the foundations to becoming like a happy person. And then you build from that. And, you know, I've got teenagers and I've kind of thread that into them as well. So it's kind of like this is foundation stuff and tools and tactics you can use in your everyday life. And then obviously the remedies, everything else around that are brilliant. But I wanted to create like a mini manual, I suppose. And I was really fortunate that Coldplay really liked it. And so they tweeted about it and then it went a bit nuts for a bit. So it's had some great backing. It's done some great things. So
that's what's really going to be my question. You've just, and I have to ask, you don't have to answer if you don't want to, but are Coldplay your clients? Because I know you've treated a lot of celebrities as well.
So obviously I can't say that, but I do know them. That's what I can say.
Because do you know what I would really love to see? And I've said this on the podcast a few times. I would love a few kick-ass celebrities to stand up and say that they use homeopathy. We just need a few big names to tweet about homeopathy or to put it on the Instagram pages. We need it. I know that they use it. I know it. We just need them to come out and say it.
Yeah, exactly. It's well used in the celebrity world, I believe. So it's kept under wraps. It'll come.
Now, it's interesting that you say about the short attention span because so many people these days, myself included, do have shorter attention spans. And I think social media, things like that are not helping. But your course was set up specifically for the person with that short attention span, the Fire Up Your Happiness course, because you've got it in a nice little 1 minute, 5 minute chunk. So you get that little dopamine hit of, I finished another section. Get that all throughout the way. And it has really made it so much fun to do the course. So great job on that one. You did really great.
Oh, thank you. That was really fascinating. So that was about, the course came off the back of the book. So I'd worked homeopathically with a senior staff nurse at Great Ormond Street Hospital, which is the children's hospital in London, who was in a really bad way, kind of with anxiety and depression and just in a bit bad way with their relationship. And yeah, she was in a really stuck corner. Anyway, I helped her over a couple of months and her boss said, "Why are you feeling better? What have you done?" So she said that she'd come to work with me personally. Anyway, the boss phoned me up and said, "Can you make 39 nurses happy in 3 hours? I was like, "That is an opportunity I can't turn down. I have to say yes to that." And it was like they had an away day and they said, "We've got 3 hours, like a week on Thursday. Can you put something together?" So I kind of created the course off the back, just kind of picked bits out of the book and created a kind of a workshop really quite quickly. Anyway, they loved it and I delivered it to Great Ormond Street over 20 times. And then it got picked up by the NHS in the UK, down in the Southwest. And we put nearly 2,000 of the medics and staff through the live workshop. So then, which was great. And then COVID hit and I couldn't deliver it anymore. So then it got switched onto an online version and I kept getting asked for it. Can my sister use it? Can my cousin use it? And all this sort of stuff. So now it's available for anybody to use, but it's been amazing. The feedback I've had from it is really cool. It's kind of a bit of fun, but hopefully it's insightful at the same time. It's just hopeful. I tried to make it really user-friendly and just something that people can take into their day-to-day lives, basically. It is. I don't know how you found it.
Absolutely. And I really like the worksheets as well. Like sometimes you just got to get those ideas. Like what are the things, the quick wins or something like that, the things that you can do right now to make you feel better. Yeah. One of the biggest things that I love is how you say, you know, all of us, like we've all been there and we hear this in our clinic all the time as well, right? My job sucks. My relationship sucks. My life sucks. Everything sucks. I want to leave my job. I want to leave my relationship. And I love how you reframe that and go, okay, that's fine. But first, let's get your happiness barometer up. And then you decide if you want to leave your job or leave your relationship. I love, love, love that. Can you tell us what is the happiness barometer? And then just why it's important to get that up before you make these really important life decisions?
Yeah. So the happiness barometer is kind of the scale that I use. And obviously, you can see me on video. It's here behind me. But just listening, it's kind of like a ladder. So with 5 different rungs, the bottom rung I call despair. And then this next one up is not good. And then you've got good. And then you've got okay. And right at the top, you've got feeling great. And what I've realized is that many of us believe that, you know, from social media and things like that, you think, oh, everyone else is feeling really good and great because they kind of project the best life out to the world. But what I've realized happens is that we all wobble up and down this thing. I'd say on an hourly, 2-hourly, half-hourly, half-daily basis, kind of you're feeling good and then you're not good and then you're down a bit more and then you're up a bit. And so we kind of move up and down. So that's the first thing. It's kind of, we are all hanging out on this barometer somewhere and normally you can pick, I'm generally there, but we do this. The second thing is that life and the perspective through which we see things is totally correlated to where we're hanging out on the barometer. So as you say, if I'm feeling not good, kind of how does life feel? Life feels rubbish and a bit bleak and hard and difficult. And then you ask people how your relationships are. Well, I don't like it. They're horrible, whatever the thing is. But what I've seen over the years is that if you can help someone feel better on the inside and kind of lift their mood and get them feeling good and bring them back up towards the top of the barometer, perspective changes, life changes, and we deal with things in a very different way. And I always say that you take your state with you. So if you're not feeling great and you make changes in that mode, you're going to take yourself to the next job, to the next partner, to the next whatever. And obviously, sometimes your instinct might tell you that you do need to change something. That's slightly different. I call that our listening to our wise old gut. Sometimes we need to listen in, make those choices. But whenever I see anybody or do my courses, say, let's get you feeling good first, and I'm going to ask you again. Because I've seen it well over 90% of times where people are about to quit the job. We work together, you get them up feeling good and they go, actually, I really like it. It was just my state of mind that was off. So that's how I use the barometer. And it's kind of just a guide and it's a visual representation of how you're feeling today. And I do believe that we just go up and down. And I also believe that we don't necessarily, I don't think the goal is to stay in great the whole time. I've never met anybody that's able to do that. But obviously, as you slip down, the more time you can spend towards the top and feeling good and great, the better. So my work is about giving people the tools to make the time down the bottom less and the time up towards the top more. And to me, that's where the power lies. It's like life's always going to chuck stuff at you, curveballs, life situations. It's always going to ping you down towards the bottom, but then you have more choice about how you come back up towards the top. So that's kind of how I frame it. It's kind of like, yeah, this is an empowerment tool. But if you can kind of gauge, this is the lens through which you're looking through life, everything else changes as well. So yeah, it's exciting.
Amazing. Now, you've done something that I don't think I've ever heard any other homeopath doing. I mean, I've interviewed probably about 180 homeopaths now on the show, and nobody that I've interviewed works in executive wellness with homeopathy. How did you even start that conversation? And
I was intrigued what you were going to say there. I thought, what have I done? Yeah, I was getting quite excited. Like, what is this?
Psych. No, but I did notice that on your website, like, it doesn't really say homeopathy. You talk about yourself as like a practitioner and like natural things. And I'm sure that's probably done, you know, with intention, because so many people have such a unfounded bias against homeopathy. So you kind of need to get them on board first, and then you can, you know, show them how great it is. But how on earth do you, how did this come about that you're doing this? You said about that nurse at Ormond Street, but you go into all sorts of companies and help their staff raise their happiness barometer. Like, it sounds to me like that is a niche that more homeopaths need to get into. How did you get into it, and how can other homeopaths do this, and what's the benefit, and how does that even work?
Yeah, great. So I'll start with my homeopathic hat on, and I've done a lot of work within companies with my homeopathic hat. So that started back in about 2008. So it's quite a long time ago I've been getting into companies. So that started off my private practice, and then people had different jobs and titles. And one guy invited me in to come and treat his PA. He said, she's always off sick with tonsillitis, and it's just really annoying me because she's having 1 week and three off. And I said, well, I can, you know, as we do as homeopaths, we can sort that out. That's no great shakes. Anyway, So I worked with her, and he said, this is so cool. All my staff need this. So I went, all right. And then I offered to go and do a talk, just introducing myself to the staff. So I went in, did a 30-minute talk, and then he stood up and he said, whoever wants to see Matt can see Matt. Anyway, 25 people signed up. So that was like, bang. I just had 25 new clients. And he said, the company are paying. We just want you to come in. So I went in 2 days a week for 18 months.
Wow.
It grew from there, basically. Then I got a phone call from the Dorchester Hotel, which is a big luxury hotel in London. And they invited me in to go and have a chat to their wellbeing team. So this was a different model. So the first model was I got paid by the company to go in. So that kind of happened through my practice and just sort of saying yes to things. I'm a big believer of say yes to things and open doors. But since then, I've knocked on other company doors saying that this is what we did here. Do you want to do this? And I've had, you know, I've got three or four companies I've still worked with, and they'll send me people that get signed off sick, or they'll send me their senior management team. They might say, we've got six people. Can you give them five sessions each, or, you know, something like that. So I really enjoy that work because that's the company paying me. So everyone loves that. So the company's paying, the clients love it because the company's paying. The clients love the company more because the company's paying, and then you're helping them feel better. It's not always work stress. That's what's really surprised me. I always thought, I'm going in sort of work stress. It's often home life stress, I think, is one of the biggest factors that keeps people off work. And something I call self-stress, which is their own inner ability to work or confidence. Am I good enough? Am I failing? They might be burning the candle because they're insecure or whatever. So anyway, but it's definitely home life stuff. So that's the one model, is go and knock on the door of a company and just say, this is what I can help. I can help you guys, you know, sleep better, energy, just the normal homeopathic stuff. And I think it's right for the moment because everybody's looking at wellness and mental health within companies. It's kind of an offering they want to be able to give. So I think if you can find your way in somewhere, going off to do a free talk, maybe start with. I've done so many free talks, free sessions. I've given free sessions to CEOs. You just need to get your foot in the door somehow. So cut out the resistance that they're going to go, oh, I don't want to pay for that. Or, and you know, I'll turn up at your office and do it. Or we've got Zoom now, which is so much easier as well. So kind of knock on the doors. So for the Dorchester Hotel, they did it slightly differently. They offered me a room that I could use, and they would promote it to their 600 staff. So I was there for 8 years. So
eight
the staff
years.
Would... Yeah, so I used to go in, I think it was a day every other week I did. So they would promote it around there, however they promoted it through the intranet or on the notice boards. And they'd take the bookings and I'd just turn up and I'd have like 6-8 clients. So I didn't have to pay for the room and the staff would pay me. And it was a slightly reduced rate, but yeah, kind of that worked. So that's another model where you say, I'll come in, you promote it, and that seems to work fine. So that's the other model. So that's with my homeopathic hat, and I still do that. As I said, I've still got 4 companies that I'm kind of in and around and work with their senior executive teams. And they just really value it. They don't want someone off sit. It costs them money. This goes into the kind of financial side of things, but costs them money to have an underperforming staff member. So that's how they see it. And if you chat to the CEOs that I work with, they'll say they really value this. It's kind of like, this is a nice to have, but it's more than that. It's kind of, they value it as part of what they offer for their team kind of coaching, team wellness. So yeah, it's like, so that's my homeopathic hat. But since the book has come out and the wellness course, the Fire Up Your Happiness course, so companies are really interested in that. Because obviously off the back of COVID, there's a lot of mental health stuff happening. So I'll get invited to go along to do talks on just the book, on just the kind of the key topics of mental fitness and mental emotional wellness. And last year I was a keynote speaker for Colgate at their European conference. That was really cool. Oh, that was quite scary, but yeah, I did that. So it's just fun. I just like having fun and just seeing where this goes, basically. So just say yes to things and see what happens. And I've always been someone that believes you just need to network a bit and just meet people and just say what you do and something will happen. That's funny enough. I had a homeopath the other day asked me if I started my practice again, what would I do? I think I would do a weekly talk just to say, this is who I am, what I do. And I'd probably say every Tuesday night, 8 p.m., you can find me on Zoom, just rock up. And I think that's what I would do because people
that's
just need
so
to see
funny.
You.
I have actually just started that last week. It's every Tuesday night at 7:30 till 8.
No way. That's cool. Yeah. Okay. I got the Tuesday bit right and the 8 bit right. So,
We call it Tuesday chats. But, you know, if we were American, it'd be a Tuesday chats. It's not the same. So we say Tuesday chats.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's so funny. I think that's what I would do. It's just about getting your face out there. And if people get, if they like what you're about and, you know, we make decisions quite quickly, don't we? If we like something or not, something feels right or someone resonates with us or just do we think that they can help us or their story, they like, whatever the thing is, but you're just going to build a practice quicker doing that than just waiting at home for something magically to happen. Magical things do happen, but you've got to put the legwork to get the magic, basically.
My final year of study, so 2013, I started putting together an in-person talk. And so I used to go to childcare centers and women's groups and all these things and did these in-person talks. And then, you know, COVID hit and then I created this online course. It's just a 30-minute video on YouTube, just an introduction to homeopathy, just squeezing as much as I can into half an hour. That's the best thing I've ever done because I've never done 15-minute free introductory calls, which a lot of homeopaths do. Because I figure if you want to see whether you vibe with me or not, go watch that half an hour video. You'll learn about homeopathy and you'll see whether I'm the type of energy that you want to work with. Because I think that's so important, finding the right practitioner, hey? I think that's half the battle won. If you have a practitioner that you really vibe with, that really makes everything flow so much more. That's really good advice you've given. And I hope any of our new homies that are listening to this episode take that on board and just that consistency, right? I think having that consistency.
Consistency is the key because I think we can maybe all be guilty of this. You give something a go once or twice and then you go, oh, it's not working. And I was laughing the other day because I did a talk about 4 years ago in kind of a local town here. I went to a village hall and I put like 40 chairs out. So I thought, oh, well, people will come. And anyway, 2 people came. And I was like, right, just carry on. And
I've had that happen too, by the way. Yeah. I had one person turn up.
But that's good as well. You just got to keep plugging.
And within the reps.
Yeah, I think so. I think one of the two became a client and, you know, it still works. You just got to do the legwork and then it will build. And you'll just find your way and what you're comfortable with. I think my other bit of advice is just go with what you're comfortable with. And especially if there's a topic that you're really passionate about and that you really like, just kind of start there, stick there. because that's kind of what you're into. So there's no point trying to do stuff that you're not comfortable with. So that's my other bit of advice, probably. I don't use that many remedies. I know other homeopaths, I'm in the homeopath group, and they're like, you only use this one. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know how many, 30 or 40, that's it. I'm not one of these, keep training different courses and do all these different things. It's like, I just do the basics and I'm confident and comfortable with the basics that I've used. And occasionally I might try a little wacky remedy thrown in, but it's kind of, I'm just in that mode. I'm just going to stick. I think when I first started in practice, I kept going on courses, but I think I was just overly confusing myself trying to learn too many remedies too quick. And I thought maybe it's a low confidence thing of like, if I keep learning, then I'll get better. And I think, no, I'll get better at what I'm good at. And then that's the better way around. So that's just the way I do it.
Absolutely. I've had some homeopaths on the show that have said exactly that. Like they found their thing and they're sticking with it. Mm. And at the end of the day, yeah. The people who need you are going to find you. You know? So the people that need that weird, wacky remedy, they're going to find that homeopath that likes prescribing those. So, I do think you'll find clients find you. It's energy medicine, right? So whether it's the remedy or whether it's the client, they're going to vibe with the person that it is that they need at that stage of their healing journey. And that practitioner might not take them the entire way, but whatever they need at that stage, they're going to find that person.
Yeah. Yeah. I developed a different way of working with people as well, which happened kind of organically. You know, as at college, we used to do kind of take the case and prescribe the remedy and I'll see you in a month or 6 weeks or, you know, that's kind of how I was trained.
Yeah.
And then about 2012, 13, I had an Australian client. She was a high level executive and she was going through all sorts of different things. And she said, I need to see you next week. Like this. I was like, all right, shall I? You do actually, because you're in the right, you know, she was in a mess. So, and she said, this is so beneficial. And can I see you next week? I was like, this is an interesting model. She said, because I said, I'll see you in like 4 to 6 weeks. I can't wait that long. And, you know, so this is interesting. Let's go with this. Anyway, so I've just found that working weekly with this lady just worked well for her because of the state that she was in. And I thought, I can package this up differently. Because I was into mental and emotional health and helping people. So I created something, I called it the 10-week turnaround. And I still do this now. It's a kind of a 10-week program where I'm with someone for 10 weeks and I will work with them weekly. And doesn't mean they'll get a remedy every week. We get a remedy week one, week two. And then, you know, so you might not get a remedy every week, but I'm with you. And I've just seen the most amazing transformations working like that. So that kind of really works for me as a practitioner. And I only work with 3 or 4 people. Any one time. So I used to have a busy practice with, you know, however many people per day, but I've switched it. So I'll sign up for 10 weeks and I'm with them and we just help them move from A to B. And I've just found this has worked really well. For me, it's definitely worked really well. And for the clients, it seems that type of client that's in a really stuck corner that needs kind of a big kind of like crowbar out of it, we'll get you there. So yeah, it's been a fascinating way. So that's, I work slightly differently to other homeopaths with that model as well, I think. I think people like the support of that, I find. And there's a beginning and end point. And I don't dump them off at the end if they need, and sometimes people need the odd one or two after it. You know, it's not finished and done. But I definitely find that it shifts people big time. So, yeah.
Really like the sound of that. And I really appreciate you sharing that business model on the show, because I'm just thinking that this is really going to resonate with some homeopaths that are maybe they are people that are more sensitive. So they get drained by seeing several clients, but they are really good at really honing in on that, you know, that one or two or three or whatever, 5 people, and really digging deep, going deep with them and really holding their hand along the way. And there are clients who need that. I have some clients who are highly anxious. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't give you what you need because you need somebody to really be there for you every single week. And you really hold your hand this whole way. And I know that they, because I a few months ago, I was kind of floating this idea of having just maybe 10 people per month, kind of like a subscription type service. And then they have access to me 7 days a week, you know, from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. or something like that. And it will be like a high-end type product. And specifically for these really highly anxious clients. And I never ended up going through with that, but there are some people who are desperate for something like that, like seeing their homeopath every, you know, 6 to 12. I usually see my clients every 8 weeks. I'm just thinking, for example, I'm doing palate expansion with my dentist, and sometimes I get really bad with tuning my palate expander. But then I'm like, oh, I know I'm going to see him in 2 weeks' time and he's going to tell me off. And that's going to like re-inspire me to get back on the horse. So sometimes it's really like, I like going to him because I know after I've been there, I'm re-inspired to go back through the pain of, you know, the expansion after I've had that chat with him. So when you have this regular follow-ups with your clients, I think you're going to get amazing results because you're really there checking in on them and building that relationship on such a deep level in such a short period of time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a mentoring service almost. I'm just thinking mentoring sessions with people, and it sounds like almost something like that.
Yeah, it's just a very different way of practicing. I'm just thinking of the last three people that have gone through it. So one lady was in a really bad way with her husband and looking like they're going to split. And her daughter was having mental health issues and she's self-employed. And so there's just a lot of stress and anxiety and worry and life stuff going on. So she slotted into that. And it's just, as I say, my work is about how you get, I'm not there to change anything in someone's life. I'm there to help them change, to feel better. And then everything else falls off the back of it. Mm. So seeing her weekly and just building her confidence back up and getting her less stressed and sleeping better and it's like sorting the headaches out and getting the stuff, just doing it quicker. It's just quicker and being that support for her. So she did really well. Another was actually a CEO I worked with. He sent me his 18-year-old daughter who was going through a really rough time after a breakup and exam stress, and she had other things going on as well. So he plugged her through the 10 weeks. So it's just, and another guy who owned a company, he did it. He was pretty suicidal, but he couldn't work out why because he had everything. So he just needed to unpack and unload some stuff. And we just gave him some constitutional remedies over that 10 weeks. And that was his opportunity to chat. And he said, no one's ever listened to me like this, you know. And he was in his 60s. It's not always highly anxious clients, just people that just are in a bit of they just need some sort of different level of support. And I've used remedies differently when you work like that. They wouldn't give remedies every week necessarily. But as a business model, if you're building up a practice, it can be useful because you book someone in kind of for 10 weeks. It's just a different way of earning money. So you can have that as a high-end offering, if you like, and then you can still see people monthly or whatever. But you'd be surprised how many people will take it up, I think. So, I love working like that. And you really get to know the person and it just shifts people. It just shifts people quick.
I love building relationships with my clients. It's one of the most satisfying parts of the job is getting to know that person. And every single time you have a follow-up, you learn something about them that you didn't know. And every single time they remember something that they'd forgotten or never thought to tell you. And as they start understanding the process a little bit better of what it is that you need from them, they're able to help you help them. So the follow-ups I absolutely love. I just had a client this week who I've been working with for years, and she said something to me that she's never said before. I'm like, oh, this just really gives me such a better understanding of where you come from. I'm just so excited where this next level of remedies is going to take us. But it's like you're supercharging it with this 10-week turnaround. And I mean, you've got all the beautiful other, you know, therapies, a way of thinking with the happiness inside job book and all the tools that you use. So that's really great that you've got that add on in there as well, that it's not just the homeopathy, but there is, you know, these tools that are holding you through this process.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely thread a bit of everything in, but with my one-to-one sessions, I've still got my homeopath hat on. I'm still thinking, what's the right remedy for this? So I just, homeopathy is just so great, as we know. It's just so transformative. And the relationships you build with people, and it's great, especially for kids. It's like, let's get the kids on this stuff. I've got three kids, so all mine have been brought up homeopathically.
Yeah, I did like that elevator story. I had to have a giggle about that one.
Okay, yeah.
And you told it so great. I was like imagining it in my head. I'm just...
yeah, but these are all true stories. I don't make them up. Kind of life happens.
We'll have to tease the audience. They're going to have to go do the course now to find out about the elevator story.
Yeah. Well, that's where Super and Drupal were born there. So
I saw it. It was really cool. And I had to laugh when you said about the Superman t-shirt, because I've got a son who's turning 12 soon and my daughter's 8 and a half, but he had those t-shirts, the little Velcro with a superhero cape.
Yeah.
They're great. So I wonder, Matt, for anybody listening today, have you got three questions that they can ask themselves to start getting the ball rolling of how they can increase their happiness barometer? I'm just kind of thinking of some of the things on your worksheet.
Oh.
Like three questions or maybe three bits of advice that you have, or I mean, you can give as many as you want. I just pulled three out of my
head. Yeah. I would say the first one is that you're in charge, I think. That's kind of one of the intro premises of the book and the course is, let's stop waiting for life to change tomorrow. Let's go, like, I can fire up my happiness today. I'm in charge of that process. I can either wait to be treated better, life to change tomorrow, the world to change, government to change, whatever that needs to change, all those I call it like the external stuff. Like, you can either wait for the external stuff to change and then wait for your past to change. That's not going to happen. You know, whatever you're waiting for that you think is going to help you feel better on the external stuff. Well, good luck with that, because you're trying to line things up. And you tell yourself, or I tell myself, when those things line up, then I will be happy. I will be happy when. It's like a lot of people go, I'll be happy when this happens, or when that, or when I get that, or when this. Like, yeah, it maybe. Good luck. It could happen. And then sometimes you find that when you get the when, you go, well, 2 days later, you go, well, I'm not feeling that much better from even getting the thing. So what I've learned is that, and that's why I called it fire up your happiness. It's kind of like, I'm going to fire up my own happiness. So I learn, and my book was the inside job. And I worked out, or for me anyway, it's kind of what happens on the inside is where the power is. I can work out all those factors that help me feel better on the inside. Then I live life better. Then I'm a better husband, a better dad, better at work, better presenter, better, just like everything better. And I deal with stuff so much better when I feel good. So the rule one is for me is like, I'm in charge of that. And I have to realize that rather than kind of moping around and going, oh, I can't, or I'm not won't work, or I can't be bothered, or it's not fair, or, you know, those kind of little negativity stuff that creeps in. It's like, go, yeah, I will listen to you a little bit, but I'm going to ignore you a little bit. I'm going to go, all right, I'm in charge of this. And once you can start building that as the first habit, you go, right, I'm in charge. I'm just going to give it a go. I'm going to fire up my own happiness. So that'd be the first one, is like, you're in charge of your own game. Let's go for it. Go for it. What does second one be? Second one be with like, what do you actually want? I think sometimes a question I ask, like, what do you actually want? And do you really, really want it? So I feel that a lot of people are in a low mood because they're not going for what they really want. Again, they'll put excuses in the way, but we're meant to progress, I believe, to feel happier. And we're meant to, it's like a plant. So you're meant to grow and move. And part of that process is going for what you want. You have to go towards something. And you always feel better with progress. So feeling stuck never feels great, and it's not meant to. And I think I've definitely learned that in all this work, is kind of actually not feeling good is really useful, which sounds odd. So I kind of sum it up at the end of the course, you kind of get why I say that. But when you're not feeling good, it's trying to show you, it's a feedback mechanism, basically. It's like, if I'm not firing up my own happiness and I'm giving it someone else to do, that never kind of feels that great. And then in 10-year emotional guidance, all about bottling up and all the different emotional ways that we can feel better. And you don't feel good when you're bottling up, or you're not living your passion, or, you know, it doesn't feel good. Or if you're feeling stressful thoughts rather than positive ones, they don't feel good. So my training is all about really tuning into what feels good for you and what doesn't. And if you can really begin to decipher that, you begin to kind of get rid of the negativity stuff and use it as a feedback mechanism. And I think I term it like, you know, when you're driving down a motorway or a highway and you go onto the rumble strip, kind of, it's kind of showing you that you're like, you're coming off course, doesn't feel very good, like you're shaking. That is, if you're not feeling good, that's what it's trying to show you. It's like not showing you, and you think even stuff like negative self-talk, like I'm not good enough, or it's like we're meant to feel great about ourselves because we're kind of this bright being and soul and ignite our greatness. But if you talk to yourself and go, I'm not that, I'm not good, I'm not worthy, I'm not good at anything, you know, it doesn't feel good, because that's trying to show you as well. It's been a really fascinating learning process of how all this stuff kind of works. But I believe it's quite simple. Things either feel good or don't. And you've got to just tune into that. And I'm hope that the book and the course and stuff just really helps people decipher and gives people really kind of, I like to have a bit of fun as well. And maybe notice it's quite lighthearted, most of it, hopefully. Just trying to convey it in a really simple way. And yeah, and have fun with it, basically. And then it can be done. And I've seen so many people kind of shift out of things and apply the tools and just kind of move off into a much better place. And it's just amazing. Like, mental health and depression and feeling low is just such a commonplace thing. And for me, it's, we're just all a bit stuck or a bit overwhelmed, and the news and the media and, you know, all that stuff is kind of just flies in, just affecting us. And we just need to find our own way back out of it, to be honest. It's kind of, it's like moving out of the reeds, you know what I mean? It's like, get through that, pull them out of the way and go. So that's kind of how I see it, I think. There's something about thinking that I like, you know, in the course, I call it the groovy train of thought. Yeah. So there's two trains. There's a groovy train, which is a train of thought, which feels good, feels optimistic, so it's fun and energetic. You've got a stress train. And I really worked out that every thought you ever think either feels good or not. So I realized that every thought has a feeling. It's like, if you think about something you're not liking or you're not enjoying or it's stressful, it's like, it doesn't make you feel that great. Whereas if you think about something that's fun or good or something that you love or you like, it's like, it feels better. And so we instantly change how we feel from what we're thinking. So the sentence that I like to use is that there's a thought in your head that feels better than the one you're thinking somewhere. So if you can train your mind into finding that, it's like, what's the thought that's feeling a little bit better? So if I'm going to concentrate on that, because the more you concentrate on the positive thoughts, they kind of snowball. We just get better at positive thinking the more that we do it. But positive thinking is harder when you're down the bottom of the barometer, because if you're not feeling great and someone says, can you just think better? You just want to slap them. It's kind of like, that's hard. It's hard to do that. So if you're not feeling great, you can look for something good or a bit of gratitude, or, you know, just like, what's the better thought? And if the better thought is, I'm just going to go and stroke the cat, and do that 23 hours a day until you're out of your mood. That's kind of what I'd say. It's kind of like, just why concentrate on the negative stuff that's getting you? You don't have to do that the whole time. It's kind of like, you've got to train yourself to feel better. So you can think your way out of it or do something physical. That's why you mentioned it a bit earlier, the quick pick-me-ups. It's kind of like, people love, you know, stretching, yoga, running, backflips, whatever, who knows, cycling. But that releases our good endorphins, and then jump on the groovy train when you've done that, because it's easier to jump on a better thought form when you've done something physical. So yeah, that's the other way out of it. The third way is just get off the topic, actually. That's another one. If you're in a negative state and you're trying to sort out the problem in that state, it's like you just get tangled. So I say, change the topic, go off the topic for a bit, go and, you know, as you've seen, there's all kind of charts of stuff that you can do to help yourself feel better, and then go back to it. And the fascinating thing is, when people go back to it when they feel better, they either can just see the solution really quickly because you've changed your state, you're in a state, so you just feel like, oh yeah, I can see the solution to that. When you're in a bad mood, just kind of, I can't believe it and it's horrible, yeah, and I'm stuck. When you're feeling better, you kind of see the solution a lot quicker. Or you sometimes just go, you kind of bat it off. I didn't care. And wasn't even a problem. What was I even thinking? So it can be quite funny sometimes when someone's told you all this story of woe and it's bad, and then you get them feeling better and go, I don't know, what was I talking about? Let's just do something good. You know what I mean? I quite like the liberation of that.
And so, it is a habit. Like, the more you do it, the easier it does become, just like anything else. I think the first thing is catching yourself in that thought, because you can sometimes be in that loop and not even realize what you're doing. But catching yourself in that thought and then having the tools to know how to change it, it's really...
Yeah. So that's the other thing about... So that's why I called it a groovy train, because if you hold a thought in your head for more than 7 seconds, another one of a similar quality joins it. So the train carriage is pulled on behind. Okay. So that's why so if you have a negative thought... And the imagery that I use is when you go to the fairground and you kind of whack a rat, whack the mole sort of thing, the negative thought comes out. He's got not interested. Just move along. And then you try and jump on the groovy train and find. So in the course, we like get you to kind of plot your groovy train thoughts that you can just go to. And if you can, as you say, if you can kind of discard the negative ones, because if you get on the negative thought, the next carriage will come. And then you'll be right down the end of that track in Pity Partyville often. And we don't want that. We don't want that. So this is just habit forming, and you can do it in the car. You can do it when you're brushing your teeth. Mm. We do it with our kids around the, you know, down the dinner table. It's kind of, this is what's good. You know, you just practice what's good. That's a really easy one. Ask people what's good instead of what's wrong. You know, stuff like that. Just get people focusing. It doesn't mean you deny their problems. And if they need to chat about that, that's a different thing. But just gets you, because the brain will always look for stuff that you're thinking about. So if you're thinking about good, it will see good. If you're thinking about bad, it finds it for you.
Absolutely. It's so, like when you buy a red car, you suddenly see red cars everywhere. So yeah, your brain will exactly look for self-affirming information, right?
That's exactly what's happening. Yeah, it's really fascinating. Mm-hmm. So the more that you can shift this, the better life becomes. Mm-hmm. And that was the aim of the course, basically. It's like, can we get you just to start? It's like, what are the foundations to someone feeling good, feeling happier, and learning those kind of inner tools, if you like, to feel good, and then build everything on from there, basically.
Matt, how can people get hold of your book and your course, and if they want to work with you? Actually, UK is our third listenership. We've got America first, then Australia, then UK at the moment. Sometimes the UK pips Australia, and sometimes Australia pips.
Does it?
Yeah, it dips them off the coast. But so for UK listeners, I mean, you do online as well. So how can people get hold of you, and where can they get your book?
So the easiest place, the base camp, as it were, is probably mattpepper.com. Is everything comes from there. The book is on Amazon, or you can order it into your local bookstore if you want to support local bookstores. But yeah, I've done stuff in all, especially with Zoom, you know. Mm-hmm. I've done some courses for Colgate, from Colgate North America to South America. So it's so cool, just this new online world. It can take you. Amazing. I've gone further around the world from COVID than I did before COVID. So anyway, sorry, yeah, mattpepper.com would be the place. And you can, yeah, the course and the book are there. And yeah, the one-to-ones are all available. So yeah, I'm still trucking. I look forward to seeing what happens in the next 10 years.
Well, thank you for the pep talk today.
You like that, don't you? Like
the pep. I do. I really like it.
Yeah. It was quite handy.
The use of your surname. Like, yeah.
It was very handy.
It is handy.
I will thank my parents for that.
You should. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. It was really, really fun. I really appreciate your time.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. And good luck to all homeopaths out there, is what I'd say. Let's go for it.
Thanks. Bye.